turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. And I'd like to preach this morning on prayer and the unjust judge. Luke chapter 18, I'll read the first seven verses. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But after a while he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for Liberty Baptist Church. We thank you for our pastor and his wife. I pray you'll give them a refreshing time. But as we're here this morning, I would just ask for your strength, your power, your direction. Lord, we know we can do nothing without you, and so I just ask that you'd speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. A widow went to a judge for help and justice, and though the judge has no fear of God nor regard for man, he grants this woman her request because he did not want her to continue troubling him. And through this story, Jesus is teaching us the importance of persistence in prayer. Amen. He knows how easy it is to give up, isn't it? Amen. I know it is for me. And do something a little easier that seems to get more immediate results. And the whole purpose of this parable is seen in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. That's what I'm going to preach on. How many of us have prayed for something and just given up? I have to say I have. We conclude that it wasn't God's will and we quit. We're like the guy drilling for oil, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own money running out, then borrowing thousands and saying, if I don't get any oil, I'll quit. And he quits. Another guy takes it up, in a couple weeks, he's a millionaire. I think we'll be really surprised when we get to heaven and discover how near we were to victory when we just gave up. Because the Lord knows our nature, he says men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you will, please turn back to Matthew 7, verse 7. The Lord taught us to pray by what he said. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says, ask. I think it's catching, Russ. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth. Asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be open. In John 14, 14, he says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I think we close our prayers, and we ought to close our prayers within Jesus' name. But I think we do it without thinking so many times. We should pray in Jesus' name because we know it's his will. And if we'll really pray, and that's the main thing I want to get across today, if we'll take time and really pray, he'll mold our thinking. He'll mold what our needs are as we're in prayer. I just don't think we pray enough. I think it's maybe the number one shortcoming we have today. How can God mold us? How can he teach us? How can he guide us if we don't get alone with him? The entire New Testament is full of verses and things about prayer. Whatsoever things ye desire, you pray believing that ye have them, and ye shall receive them. Our Lord taught us to pray by what he said. Sometimes we get the idea that victory in prayer is only for the super Christian. Let me say there's no super Christian. But it's for us. It's for ordinary Christians. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. Now again, we read that and say, oh no, it's talking about when he began, okay? Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it rain not for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and it did not rain. If you study the Bible and human experiences, you'll find that some of the most extraordinary prayers are answered for the most ordinary Christians. Some of the most exciting answers to prayers in my life came when I least expected it. I am a very shy person, a very backward person. God had to beat me to get me to answer the call to preach. And when I did, again, God had to beat me to go start a church. And I didn't want to go. I'll just say that. I'm a city boy. I'm from Chicago. And I'm a city boy. And this was a town of 6,000. I wanted to reach the masses, you know. And here was this. And then again, don't tell them. They're dead already. But the family wanted me to start the church were really weird. And I did not want to go. And fought it like crazy, but I do believe in prayer, and I worked like crazy, prayed like crazy, and I knew it was God's will, and I was told I didn't have to worry about support because there was a Chicagoland Independent Fundamental Baptist Preachers Association that would, all I had to do is tell them, and they'd fund it. So I told them, and the big shot, there's always big shots, we're supposed to be independent, but they think they're a bishop. And the big shot stood up and said, we don't need a church in Chesterton, Indiana. And that was it. No support. Now, my wife's here. She knows this. She is expecting our first baby in about 2 months. We were in Chesterton. We really did. I'm sure we didn't have $100. But I knew it was God's will. You understand? And that's what I'm preaching about. Take time to know God's will. And you say, what did he do? I prayed, okay? I said, God, you told us to come. You know me. I didn't want to come. I told him everything. I didn't want anything to do with it. But you told me to be a preacher, okay? You told me to come to Chesterton. And God took care of it. I have a hard time keeping my composure. God took care of it. Week after week, for some reason, I figured Monday was payday. So I would pray every Monday. And I'm not saying it all came in Monday, but I never wrote a letter, I never called anybody, and never, ever, a baby was born in a couple of months, never did without. Amen. You see, what I'm trying to say is God answers normal. If you knew me, I was just a city kid, grew up in Chicago, I won't go all into it. But you use your imagination. I was a brat. That's a nice word. Okay? But the point I'm making is God can use anybody. I say again, I'm shy. You say you're preaching. I'm like this every time I preach, and I've been preaching for over 50 years. The point I'm making is God uses normal people, and the point I want to say is don't give up. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took with him Peter, James, and John. And a man came to the disciples that were at the bottom of the mountain and asked them to cast out the demons out of his son. They tried and failed. When Jesus came down, the Father had lost confidence not only in his disciples, but in Jesus. And we do that sometimes. He said, if thou canst, would you cast the demons out of my boy? Of course, Jesus easily cast the demons out. And when they got alone, the disciples, Why can't we cast these demons out? Why couldn't we do it? Why did we fail? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Not that they weren't interested. Not that they couldn't try harder, didn't try hard. Not that the job was too big. I think sometime we have great goals. We want to see souls saved. We want our family to be really godly. Maybe we're praying about our finances. We're not indifferent, but we fail in prayer. I really believe this is the number one problem today. The Lord taught us to pray by what he said. Secondly, he taught us to pray by what he did. In Luke 11, when the disciples came and asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, it wasn't after a great sermon, but it was how they observed him praying. As they watched him praying and they saw the results, they came to the conclusion that this was something wonderful. Something big, something real. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He taught us to pray by his example. He put prayer first, if you read your Bible. First in his life. The day before he chose the 12 apostles in Luke 6:12, it says he spent the whole night in prayer. Now, we men were talking about staying up. I never could. I used to live on 4 hours sleep, but I had to have my 4 hours sleep. If I drove all night, I'd crash. So I don't think, you know, sometimes people have all night prayer meetings. I'd sleep. Sorry. But you do need to get alone with God, set time aside, and pray. Whatever it means, set time aside and pray. With us, sometime prayer is a preparation for the battle. But for Jesus, as you read the Bible, it was the battle. He raised 3 people from the dead. He healed the blind and the deaf. He fed 5,000 with a boy's bag lunch. And I could go on and on. But you never see him work up a sweat in performing these great miracles. Yet in Gethsemane, as he prayed, he perspired, and that sweat became as great drops of blood. This was the battle for him. He put forth more effort in praying than he did performing the miracles. When he got up off his knees, he was like a man going to receive his reward. The victory was already won. When he's going, when he was through praying, all he needed to do is just go through the motions. We see this. He strained and strained in prayer, but when it came to the blind beggar, he just said, receive your sight. When he raised the dead, he just said, Lazarus, come forth. Having prayed, all things seemed so easy. If I were an unsaved man standing near him in Gethsemane, I'd watch the sweat turn to blood, and I'd hear him cry, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I would have thought that if the trial went against him, he'd go to pieces. But the agonizing was over when he was over through praying, because the battle had been won in prayer. On the other hand, you see his 3 disciples sleeping. You think, well, they're going to be calm and cool. No, they're the ones that ran. They're the ones that went to pieces and denied because they weren't prepared. We should be cool in the battle because we've already been strengthened and everything was taken care of in prayer. I say again, I really believe this is the missing thing today. I say, I'm 80. I'm a young man in this church. but I'm 80, and I've pastored most of that time. And I've seen really change. Change in fundamentalism, change in the independent Baptist, change in our churches, a lack of power, a lack of God's miracles. And I ask myself, what is it? I really believe at least a big reason is a lack of really praying. Not how I lay me down to sleep, but really praying. But next, let's look at some rewards for praying. First, it brings a sense of God's presence. If you pray for something only God could give you, and He gives it to you, I've got goosebumps. It's exciting. The fact that God heard and responded to me was more exciting than what He did. I talked to God, I asked for God something, and He gave it to me. God gives a sense of His presence. R.A. Torrey, if you don't know that name, if you'd like to read 100-page books on prayer, the Holy Spirit, soul winning, Christian living, get those little books. It's great. R.A. Torrey said, "I know there's a God." And then he used an old-fashioned cafeteria as an example. He said, "If I go to a hole in the wall and I ask for ham and ham comes out, and I ask for a rotten potatoes, no rotten potatoes come out. Then I ask for salad, salad comes out. I ask for dessert, that's the most important, and dessert comes out." Okay? He said, "If I give everything, I get everything that I ask for out of that hole, I know somebody's behind the wall." Common sense. And he said, when we start asking God for things, and here it comes, revival in people's lives, revival in our church, people getting saved, God's presence in a great need. You know He's with you. You know He's listening and providing. David said in Psalm 116:1, "Because He hath heard my prayer and supplication, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." Not because I got something, but because He heard my prayer. It makes Him real. Next, because of the realization of His presence, it brings new courage and power. At times, I've been down, and then God answers a prayer, and I get revitalized. More courage, more strength. You show me a guy who prays, really prays, and gets answers to prayer, and I'll show you somebody with faith. Some people are so negative, so negative. I'm told that there's splits almost all the time when there's building projects in church. And what that is, a lack of faith. If we keep growing, we're going to have to build a building out there. And you know, I'm not going to get going on this, but you know the one reason why we have a pastor? To lead.
Yes.
To lead. He's a leader. When he says go, we go.
Yeah.
Okay? And we should be excited.
Amen.
But just from experience, I know some people get all blah, 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 blah. Some are always negative. That guy doesn't know what prayer and answered prayer is. If you find yourself down and negative, start praying. Like I say, I was never one that could just pray all night. So I would get away. I'd just go someplace and pray. And when I'd pray, sometimes I'd be praying, let's say we started a college. Now that was scary. Church was only 7 years old when we started the college. But God led, okay? So I got away. I didn't want to start. I am not an intellectual by any stretch of the imagination. But He wanted us to have a conference. So I'm praying, and this has happened several times. I'm alone praying, and I'm on my knees, and my feet start going, you know. And that was God saying, "Get going. You're through praying. I'm answering your prayer. Get," you see. And that's what He'll do.
Yeah.
When Daniel... In Daniel, we read that no one was to call upon any power but the king. Daniel had the courage to defy even the king. He kept praying three times a day. We know the story. And they threw him in the lion's den, but he wasn't nervous. He made a pillow out of Leo's furry mane, went to sleep. I've heard people say, well, you know, they were hungry. Then why the guys, when they got thrown in jail that were trying to get him killed, they didn't even hit the ground. There wasn't a bone left. I heard somebody say the reason they wouldn't eat Daniel was he had too much backbone. He had spent so much time in prayer, so much time on his knees, they had no fear. Prayer brings a sense of God's presence. Prayer brings new power. And third, prayer is a means of helping others. If we read the actual Lord's Prayer in John 17, he prays, Father, keep them from the world. Sanctify them through thy word. He's praying that the Lord will keep us and preserve us. As we see this, it really ought to be reason to pray for one another. I just look out here and see Bob and Wendy. They're sons. They go down to the square and try and win souls, and their sons are not saved. We ought to pray. We ought to pray and pray and pray. I don't think we pray enough for each other. In all the books of the Bible, think of it, that the Apostle Paul wrote but one. He said, please pray for me. Church of Ephesus, please, please. Church of Rome, pray. Timothy, Titus, please pray for me. It's a privilege and a duty to pray for each other. We're told to pray without ceasing. We've got to live our life, and we don't have to be on our knees to pray. Pray. We ought to pray for those in authority. We read, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. You sin when you don't pray. Pray for our children. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the pastor's wife. I'm married to one. I think it is harder to be a pastor's wife than to be a pastor. Pray for each other. Withholding sin is a prayer. A.J. Gordon said, there's more that you can do after you pray, but nothing you can do until you pray. Our Lord prayed for us. Paul requested prayer. We should want to pray and pray for each other. In closing, I'm not through, but the last point. Let me say, if we're to be successful in prayer, we've got to pray earnestly. Look back in the book of James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly. John Knox prayed, give me Scotland or I'll die. I go back to what I said at the beginning of the message. I really think the thing we're missing is fervent prayer. Real serious prayer. We should be able to pray, help me raise my children or I'll die. Let me see my husband pray, saved or I die. Bring us revival. Not if it be thy will, blah, blah, blah. Lord, give me somebody that I can see saved and follow through and have them sitting in church next to me. When we get as earnest as John Knox, we'll see his results. God is not going to trust his work in someone who's not serious. Turn back, please, to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7. Nothing worthwhile is accomplished by being half-hearted. I think that's why we have so many problems. Again, in Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, now listen to me. What parent here hasn't overspent on their kids' gifts? Oh, we say we want to give them this, we want to give them that. Listen to this verse. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Prayer is like a boy asking for food. There's no secret. If you have food, you love him, you give him food. That's what God's teaching here. Our Heavenly Father owns and controls all, and he says, ask. Ask believing. Ask persistently. He gives the illustration of the friend asking for bread for a visitor that popped up at night. I need some bread. I'm in bed. I need some bread. My family's in bed. He got up. What do you want, rye or wheat? Okay. Why? Because of persistence. Persistence. And what I'm saying is our marriages can be wonderful. I don't know how I would live without my wife and our marriage. They should be. You say, wasn't it always that way? No. Okay? No. But you can have a wonderful marriage. And how did I couldn't believe being 80 years old and not have a good marriage. We can pray for our church to have revival, for souls to be saved. But we must be in earnest. This widow got her prayer answered because she was serious. Even though the judge wasn't, he was careless. Fathers answer prayers for their kids. The guy got up out of bed. If so, let's believe. Let's believe. Let's get serious and persistent. We don't persist in order to make God hear us. We persist because we believe he will. Yes. If you have a friend and he's reliable and you say we're going to meet someplace and he's late, you don't stay to make him come. You stay because you believe he will come. We're prone to faint, to quit, to give up. God says, don't. I'll answer. This is a great privilege to go to God and he'll answer. It's worth millions, worth more than millions. He can give us anything and not deplete his goods. He says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. If you will, please bow your heads and close your eyes. I think when I was reviewing this message, I thought of an illustration Russ gave last night or yesterday with the men about a man that they were praying for in a church in Yuma. And they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he got saved when Phil Schuler came. That's what got me thinking. You probably don't know Phil Schuler. He was a good friend of mine. And many a time he came to our church and he gave the invitation and dozens would come forward to get saved. And there's people, young men, older men now, in the ministry because Phil Schuler preached. When I was a boy, John Rice would come to our church, take 2 weeks preaching. Now, you hear that name, many of you say, wow, John Rice. You know John Rice? I don't think owned a nice suit. John Rice just got up and talked, just like I'm talking now. But you know, I have relatives that got saved because of that. I guess the point I'm making is there used to be souls saved, lives changed. Families brought together. Tremendous things happen. not saying it never happens, but not at all like it used to. And I use John Rice's example because he just got up and talked in an old suit. Nothing flashy. But he believed in prayer and he practiced it. And I'm challenging you. Practice it. Believe it. How many here would say, as you preached, God touched my heart about something I need to be serious about prayer. Will you pray for me? Put your hand up across the audience. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Again, I think we need to not be proud. We need to be able to say, I've got to do this. I've got to make a decision. And I believe if we made more decisions and followed through, we'd see more results. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that raise their hand. You know the needs. And Lord, I pray some good decisions would be made, solid decisions. Good things would be done in the future because of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as Russ leads us an invitation song. And if God's dealt with you, please come down here and kneel. Do business with